multimedia for a bit. So, Glenn, I'm going to have to go up and try to work on that. So, are you going to be okay? If I get, hopefully I'll get it running and I'll come join you guys. But it's time to worship the Lord. Actually, it's a few minutes late, so hopefully we haven't, like, messed their time clocks up in heaven, right? So if you would stand with me, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts. Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now, and we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come before you and give you the praise and honor that you're due. Jesus, we want to worship you in this place. We want to lift up your name. We want to glorify you, Lord. Lord, we set aside all the distractions, and there's lots of them. We set aside the frustrations and any anxiousness, Lord, and we just choose to fix our eyes on you. Jesus, you are the author of our faith. Lord, you're the one that has started us, Lord, moving towards you and being transformed into your image. So we just want to rest in your presence today. We want to rest in your loving arms. Lord, we want to quit leaning on our own understanding and lean into you today. We want to receive, Lord, what you have for us. Help us, Lord, not to be so messed up in our thinking and caught away with other thoughts that we miss your presence and miss, Lord, what you have to give us today. And so, Lord, we just right now we worship you. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify your name. We declare that you're King and you're Lord of our lives. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are the one that is going to come again and restore all things, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you're a hope that we can fix our eyes on. We can set our heart in, Lord. And we choose today, God, to exalt your name. We choose, Lord, to enter into your rest and your presence. In Jesus' mighty name.
To enter the holy place. enter the holy place. You made a way for me to enter the holy place. I am yours. You are mine, and we'll be together.
Forever
I see the people crying out in freedom, singing, holy is the Lord. I hear the sound of the angel army singing, holy is the Lord. I see the crowd of all God's people singing, holy is the Lord. Holy. Holy is the Lord. Holy. Holy is the Lord. I hear the thousand angels. Just past the places we have been, we ask you, Lord, to take us fast. Take us fast the places we have been. We ask you, Lord, to take us fast. Take us past the places we've been. We ask you, Lord, to take us past the places that we've been, 'cause we want more. We want more. We want more. more of you. We ask you, Lord, to take us fast. Take us deeper than even we've been. We ask you, Lord, to take us fast. Past the places that we've been. 'Cause we want more. 'Cause we want more. More you. 'Cause we want more. 'Cause we want more. Make us uncomfortable. Do what you must do. Make us uncomfortable. Do what you must do. Make us uncomfortable. Do what you must do. Make us uncomfortable. As long as we have more of you, we want more. I in your loving arms, and I find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms, and I find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms, and you see me. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good Father. Who you are, and I love who I am. You're a good, good Father. Who you are, who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am. could only know one part of this life that is true, it is you. It is you. If there is only one part of this life that is true, then it is you. It is you. It is you. I can look at my past and laugh because it is true. I can look ahead knowing it will only be you. It is true. It is true. You have made me It is true that you have made me brand new. I can look at my past and laugh because you have washed away all my sin and my brokenness when you hung on the cross that day. Yes, it is true. It is true that you have made me brand new. It is true. It is true. You have made me brand new. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
You know, he is a good, good father. And today, Janet was going to come and have us lay hands on her and pray for her. She goes in for surgery tomorrow on her knee. So she's really excited about that, to be able to move around again. But Bill was fighting just bronchitis all night long. And so he was really, really weak. So he just says, "Would you guys still pray for us?" I said, "Well, there's no distance in the spirit, so we're just going to, by faith, gather around them in our hearts because they're here with us. You know, they're not over on Fifth Avenue right now. They're here with us because we're a family. And so let's just extend our hearts towards the Lord, send our faith towards the Lord, and let's just ask God to just be with Janet as she goes in for surgery tomorrow. Father, we just come before you now as a family. Lord, and one of our family members, Lord, needs your comfort, needs a touch from you. Lord, we've prayed for healing for her leg, and there's been times that she's felt it, and she's been able to have more mobility, but God, she needs your help, and she needs doctor's help to have this full healing, Lord. And we thank you for modern medicine. We thank you, God, that it doesn't have to replace faith in you. We can add our faith to the doctor's work tomorrow. So we pray you just be with Janet, Lord, as we bring her before your throne of grace now, Father. We ask that you comfort her heart. Lord, tomorrow let her just sense your presence, your peace. Lord, just let her experience the good, good Father tomorrow. Let her experience, Lord, your hand of resting upon her in such a way, Lord, that there's no fear and there's no anxiousness, God. We just thank you, Lord, for her life. Thank you, Lord, for Bill. Touch him right now, Lord, as he's fighting this lung issues, God. We just ask that you would just bring relief to him. We thank you for this family, and we just hold them in our heart, and we treasure them, Lord. They're a gift to this body. We thank you, Lord, for the family that we are, and that you hear our hearts, Lord, as we cry out to you. We just thank you for the answer to this prayer in Jesus' mighty name.
Welcome in this place. Just welcome in this place, in this church. You're welcome in these lives. You're welcome to reside in these hearts in a greater measure. We're not just crying out to you for a momentary breakthrough, God, but we're calling out for a lifestyle change. We need you, God. We need you. We need to press in deeper. We need more of you. We need more of you. You're welcome in this place, God. You're welcome in this place, God. Sing, have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. Have.
We don't just sing those words because they're on a screen, Lord. We want to make that a cry of our heart. We want to make that a proclamation in our lives. So, Lord, have your way. Have your way in us. Have your way, Lord, with our thoughts. Have your way, Lord, with our actions. Have your way, Lord, with our words. Have your way, Lord, with our meditations. Have your way, Lord, with our imaginations. Lord, have your way with our will. Father, have your way with our emotions. We just submit to you. We commit, Lord, our ways to you. We just ask that you would just inhabit them and fill them, Lord. So they're not us anymore, they're you. That our character is based on you. That our nature is based on the divine nature of God. We have come to give you glory today. We have come to praise your name. We've gathered in this place as a family, Father. We thank you that when we come, Lord, as a family, a corporate gathering, Lord, that you come and you're here right now. You're not only here, Lord, but we're there with you. We're there, Lord, with the angels. We're there, Lord, with the host of heaven, Lord. We're there with the great cloud of witnesses. We're one family in earth and on heaven, Lord. And we just ask that you would just let the reality of that life penetrate us so that we're not just thinking about tomorrow and what we would do just with our natural life, Lord, but what we're going to do in you tomorrow. What we're going to do as a child of God tomorrow. And just surrender the rest of the service, as chaotic as it has seemed, your order is still here. As crazy and distracting as it can be in our lives, Lord, you're still just a well, you're right with us, and you're in us. I just bless my family here today, Lord. Bless them, Lord, as they're getting ready to go back to some of the more busyness of life, schools and getting kids to school, work. Lord, I just pray that you would just allow their hearts to rest in you, to not be troubled, to not be weary, to not be cast down at circumstances and situations as they come, but to be sheltered in your loving arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. Not too bad for just like a crash and burn at the very beginning, right? He comes through. Aren't you glad that it's not up to us? That it's not just our own abilities, our own strength, and our own, you know, get it done, that he enables us. He takes us beyond, takes us beyond our own understanding, our own capabilities, our own might and power, and empowers us in him and makes circumstances fall into place. Wonder why that string broke, huh? Makes all things good. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to wish somebody a happy birthday today. Karina, she is 13 today. So if you would indulge me, let's sing a happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Karina. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, see, Vicky, I didn't make you sing it. Vicky said, there's somebody who's going to have a 13th birthday. And I said, great, well, you can sing happy birthday to him in the morning. Okay. Huh? I did get that. Yeah, it's like, I just thought, Gay said, are you going to respond? I said, no, I'm going to let it hang a little bit. Then I forgot, so sorry. Oh, bless your heart. Well, so you were distracted too then. Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. Well, let's see. Can we have the children come on up, please? So I know some of you started school last week. How many are starting this week? One person? Adam, you're starting this week, aren't you? No, he's not. He already started? Another week? Oh, that's not right. He doesn't start till the following week after Labor Day. That's September 8th? Wow. And you start this week? Okay, good job. You start this week, Addison? Tomorrow, preschool, come on, good job. Bound, all right. Well, let's pray for them. Father, we just thank you for our kids. Thank you for their lives. Lord, we pray your rich blessing upon them today as they go to class. Lord, we pray that their hearts would be open to receive. And Lord, that you would continue to mold them and make them into the people of God they're called to be for this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I guess I'm going to hold this mic. We never did the headset. No, no, it's okay. It's okay, Jess. Don't. I can use this because I'm just using the clicker today, so I'm not using my iPad. So, yeah, that's in the viewer, right? It's not in the. Okay, good. Great. How many have had a kind of a scattered week? Anybody else relate? One person? Gay shaking her head. Okay. Melissa has. Everybody else is doing fantastic? Wow. So that means that maybe one of you should come up here and speak, huh? Somebody is more qualified? I'm glad that it's not earthly qualifications that qualifies us to share things from the Lord. You know that? Because that would be a sad thing. I'm going to go ahead and give this to you, hon. So last week, no, oh, you can. Yeah, I guess you can. Oh, we got some stuff going on there. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and run it. I got it. Oh, that's all it would give us, I think. I tried that. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for jumping on there and working with no schedule or anything. She did a great job, didn't she? Come on, give it up for her, yeah. The team did a great job today. Praise the Lord. No, I'm good. So last week I started sharing on the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a rarity, but I really feel that I want to follow some of this for however long it's on my heart. So, but we talked about the way, the truth, so let's go ahead and go here. This is from John 14:6, and it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So I don't want to go through all of it that I went through last week, but if we look at the way is a road, a journey. It is the progress along the way. It's the route. And so we discovered that when Jesus says, I am the way, he's the road. He is the destination. He is the one that walks with us. There's no reason why we should not be able to continue to grow and become who we're called to be, because he is the way. And as long as we stay in the way, we're going to grow. We're going to make it. Does anybody think if Jesus came alongside and grabbed their hand and started walking with them someplace that you'd get there okay? I think you could walk through the most dangerous part of the world and you'd be fine. Why? Because he's with you. But the whole thing is, he is with you. He does take your hand. He does walk with you. But it just would make a difference. It was physical, wouldn't it? If those rough carpenter hands grabbed us and started leading us along the way. And then we talked about, I won't go over all the verses again because that could take a while because I've got a few. There we go. And then we talked about the truth. And the truth being reality. Jesus is reality. So when he said that I'm the way, the truth, he's saying that anything other than me is a charade. Anything other than me is false reality. And most of us would really have to, you know, think about that a little bit, because how many times do we maybe do things that are not in him, not in the way? And yet he says that he is reality. And so when we're just doing our own thing and we're just bebopping along, it's not reality. Because it's temporal. It lacks eternalness to it. Okay. Got to go that way. Okay. Here we go. So we got to the life, and I realized this week I got to this and I kind of just stopped. So I'm going to take a little bit of time and talk about the life, because the life is really important. It's not just life as we know it. This is life that emanates from God. As it says here, this is throughout the universe, it's derived, it always only comes from and is sustained by God's self-existent life. Someone was asking someone about why their heart beat. Why does my heart beat? I'm asking a doctor, and the doctor kind of, you know, gave a medical term and everything. I think it was you, Zeke. Oh, Zeke's gone. Yeah, it was Zeke. That's right. It was Zeke, wasn't it, Jesse? He was talking about it Wednesday night. And he was asking the doctor, yeah, but why does it beat? He says, well, you know, the brain, you know, does this, and he wasn't buying it. So he asked him again. He says, no, what makes this heart beat? And so he finally says, you know what? We really don't know. We don't know why it beats. We don't know why a muscle chooses to keep going back and forth. Well, we know why, because we're sustained by the life of God. Our very existence, before you were saved, it was God's life that kept your heart beating. And it keeps it beating now. The nice thing is that your heart is not just your heart anymore. It's connected with his heart. So life becomes a new kind of life. It's life that is, yes, it's got the basis in God, but it's also in Christ, that the power of Christ, the glory of Christ, the kingdom of Christ all comes with inside of us, and that starts to become part of our life. So let's look at this a little bit. I've got a few scriptures here. John 1:4. This is the chapter where John is talking about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him and through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That life is our light. That life is our radiation. And keep in mind, this was the light of men, not just Christians. His life is light to us. In John 11:25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, this is when Martha's brother was dead for 4 days, and Jesus came to raise him from the dead, but she didn't know that. She just thought, you're late, and now all we have is a sad party. We don't have a happy party. She goes, I know, Lord, he'll be raised in the resurrection. I know that, Lord, and that's a good thing. He says, Martha, don't you know? Don't you know who I am? I am the resurrection. I am the life. See, here again, Jesus is declaring, as he said to, I think it was Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am the life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's no real life apart from Jesus. Even if you are enjoying the most, I guess you could say, awesome existence by the world's standards, there's no life in it. And some of us, that's hard to understand. That's hard to grasp. How can, you know, all of this, you know, things that we can acquire and a great job and all these things end up for nothing? Well, without Christ being in it, it is nothing. It's not life. And then he says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And we know that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he was restored back to his family. He was that resurrection and that life. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. So it's in him is this eternal life. So as Christians, and I know, you know, this gets a little hard, but we think we get saved and we're in life, we're in eternal life. But how many know that it takes a purposing to stay in Christ? It takes a purposing to stay in the way. You know, if you're just walking down, you know, life and you're not purposing to stay in Christ, I guarantee you're going to veer, because it takes a purposing for the true way to go that way. I heard someone say, you know, it's hard to know where you're going unless you know where you've been, because that gives you coordinates. And a lot of us got to go back to the roots that, you know, we're in Christ, and as we stay in Christ, he can be, you know, our guidepost that way, and then him this way, it creates a straight path. But if you forget where you've come from, you forget whose you are, it's easy to veer off. Eternal life is in the Son. It's this life. John 5:11 in another translation says it like this, and this is the testimony that the life age during, you know what I did? I went to, hang on a second. I just noticed something. Blank. Oh, you guys went with the old one, didn't you? That's what happened. There's two of them. Yeah, you did your best. There's another one. Yes, just go and click on, hang on, I'm going to help Jesse here, because otherwise we're done. I can go with what Jesse says. Oh, good, I get to lunch. No, don't go there. As you right-click on that, go to Downloads. Downloads, yes. Sorry for those listening on the internet. And you'll see it says The Way, the Truth, and the Life. No, it's not too far. That's it. Yeah, that's right. I forget. You can't see that, can you? Okay. There we go. Hey, let's give it up for Jesse. Just saved our bacon there, because I would have like improvised. I would have started dancing and singing, and it wouldn't have been pretty. Anyway, here we go. Okay, John, 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this, the life, is in his Son. It's interesting, because most of our translations will just say, and given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. But in the Greek, it emphasizes one more time, the life, so that it is focusing on the life that we have in God, that the life that we have in Christ. Okay, so hopefully we'll continue to paint this picture. Hello. Oh, there we go. Hang on. Okay, is that right? There we go. So here's John 17:1, and Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So where do we get eternal life? From him. But it's not just from him. How many have thought, and I have before, that eternal life is given to us from Jesus? And so we have eternal life. And so it's like something that we possess. Anybody else think this? But it's not just an entity. It's a person. Jesus is eternal life. He is the eternal life. He gives us what? Himself. See, there's no eternal life separate from Jesus. See, that's where he says in John, I think it's 10:9, he says, I'm the door. And if you walk through me, you're going to be saved. And you're going to find pasture. If you believe in me, you're going to be saved and find pasture. But he's a door. We've got to go through him. And it's not a one-time going through. Christians are really good at this. You know, we get to the place where, you know, we've received Christ, or we've received a gift, or we've, you know, we've done a class, or, you know, we've gone to, you know, maybe seminary. We get to the place where we get kind of this arrived feeling. And we lose the hunger. We lose the desperation. We lose the even the passion. We start feeling that we've got it together. We receive eternal life. I've got eternal life. I'm good. But eternal life is in a person. And a person requires a relationship. And a relationship requires time. And a relationship requires, you know, getting into each other's business. Letting God get into our business. And yes, us get into his business. What's on your mind, Father? What's on your mind, Lord? What's going on? And this is eternal life, that you may know. Isn't that interesting? That right there it is. What is eternal life? That you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He defines eternal life. It's in knowing him. It's not in possessing some gift that he's given. Yeah, I give you the gift of eternal life. No, he gives us the gift of God. He gives us the gift of himself. He gives us the ability to have, I was thinking about this when I was saying, I am yours and you are mine, to have possession of God. Some people say, well, Pastor Mike, that's like, you possess God? Well, he gave himself to me. Yes, I possess him. And you know what? In turn, I let him have full possession of me. Full rights. Full right away. What's the one where you let people drive on your property? Easement, full easement. He has full access. He can go through the house. He can go through the cupboards. He can go through the closets. He can go through the computer. He can go through everything. He has full access. That's the kind of relationship that he wants. He can go through every nook and cranny of my heart and expose it to me so that I can become more like him. That you may know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's Jesus praying to the Father, and he's saying, this is eternal life, Father. This is eternal life, to know you, to have relationship. Now, this is interesting. Now, not all lives are created equal. Would anybody else agree? Looking around the room, not all lives are created equal. Well, this is a different kind of life. This is not all lives translated in the Greek are created equal. Because you could read this, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And you can just read life, 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 and just let your brain translate that word the same every single time. But that's not what's happening here. This word life that we see in the upper portion of it, you'll see it mentioned twice, who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it. That is the Greek word, and I think it's like psyche or psycho, and it means to breathe or to blow, but it's also where we get our root word psychology. So this is really talking about he who loves the essence of his life, his soul, he who loves what he's made up of, he who loves his whole framework, his whole way of thinking, all of that, we'll lose it. But he who gives it up, he who hates it, he who says, you know what, I don't care what how I think, I don't care how I view things, I'm willing to give it up. You know, sometimes that has to do, folks, even with the way that we think about God. Because sometimes some bad theology's been built. Case in point, I for a long time thought I needed to work really hard to receive his love. I had to work really hard to stay in his good graces. I had to work really hard to be pleasing to him. To be even receive his love, receive his affection. And folks, that was a wrong theology. It was a wrong way of thinking. I was loved. I am loved. I can't do anything. I can't do anything to fall out of his love. He will love me. Now, will he be disappointed? Absolutely. Will he be grieving like the Holy Spirit? Yes. But it won't change his love for me. I read a verse, I think it's Romans 8:30 something. It says, neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor things in the present nor things to come. They can't separate us from the love of God. And that word life is that word right there. That word psyche or however you pronounce it. There's life itself can't keep us from the love of God. So listen to this. He who loves his life, everything that he's made up, all the way that he thinks, everything that's in his world is going to lose it. But he who hates it, that's a strong word, isn't it? He who despises it will keep it for eternal life. But what kind of life is that? That's that God-given, inspired life that flows from heaven. See, we have life from God here on earth, but there's a life that flows from heaven. And as we give up this life, as we choose to not put weight on it like we did before, eternal life is released to us. Does that make sense? Okay. Colossians 3:1. Here's another way of putting it, of how we're caught up in this life in God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. Notice it doesn't say that Jesus died. You died, and your life, and this is that life that's in God, is hidden with Christ in God. So there's a place where we're not even really here like we think we are. We're hidden with Christ in God. Because look at the next verse. When Christ, who is our life, some translations say, who is our real life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So see, there's a life that we already have active in God that is invisible. It's not seen. It's spiritual. It's a mystery. But it's the real us. It's who we really are now. And so this life, if we hold on to this life that we see, that's tangible, that's real, that we can, you know, hold on to, that we can make sense of, then what ends up happening is this life that's a real life gets neglected. And the flow from heaven that wants to come in and transform this individual, this character, this nature, this everything that we are here gets hindered because we've set our mind on things below. We've set our mind on the earth. We've set our affections, so to speak, another translation says, on this place. Now, I'm not saying don't love your family. That's not what I'm saying. Not saying don't go and, you know, say, hey, this job's crazy. It's taking me down. I'm going to quit tomorrow. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in your heart, how do you treasure things in this life? What priority do they carry and weight in your being? Because if they carry more weight than the real you, then you'll just be disappointed. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. See, right there it says it. Put to death the members that are on the earth. Don't let them rule you. Notice this is up to you. Wouldn't it be nice if God, just like I said last week, just kind of grabbed us by the ear or twisted our arm and did whatever he needed to do to get us to do what would be good for us? Anybody else? Wouldn't that be awesome? If he just did the whole thing, and we just get all the goods, we change and don't have to get all messy and yucky and everything. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because he gave you a gift. We don't always think of it as a gift. Sometimes it's a curse. It was a curse from Adam and Eve. It's a gift of choice. It's a gift of your own responsibility. So you died. Remind that thing when it comes up. You're dead. So put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 1 John 5:11 again says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." 12 says, "He who has the Son has life," has this life from God. And what's it say? "He who does not have the Son does not have this life." Apart from Jesus, this life that is from God, that emanates from heaven, that, and I don't believe it's just for heaven. It's not just for when we die. This is a life that we can feed on, that we can exist in, that will change our environment around us. Not only us, but it will change those who come around us. It will change the way that we view the world. We will see the eyes from God's life, from God's heart, from God's being. John 8:12, Jesus says, he spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So as I was pondering this and praying about this and thinking about this, it really became apparent to me that God's light and God's life are somewhat interchangeable. That when you receive God's light, you receive it fully in your heart, you receive his life. And when you receive his life, as it says there, you receive his light. In him was life, and that life, that Zoe life, was the light of men. So, the Lord willing, I want to carry this on and take us into the light of God. The light that we are now. Because Jesus didn't say he was just the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. But what does this light mean to us? You start going through the scriptures and it's powerful when you start seeing this light in its context. But what does this life mean to us that we have? What does it mean to have the gift of God? What does it mean to have God's life in us? I think it means a lot more, greater weight, more value than what we a lot of times give it. I know a lot of times, you know, I start to think of God living inside of me. The one that created everything. The one when you look in the stars at night and you see it, you know, a certain picture and realize that you're just seeing the closest stars in our own galaxy. And there's something like, is it trillions of galaxies, Jesse? Trillions of galaxies. And this is the one that lives inside of me, the one that created all of that. The one that the angels are all gathered around worshiping. The one that holds all things in his hand. The one that in all things consists is inside of me, inside of you. His life is in us. But how many of us really let the weight of that settle in on us? It takes time. It takes time to make the way, the truth, and the life be fully part of us. Yes, he's in us, but how much room do we give him? You know, he's in us, but how much do we let his light shine inside of us that finds everything that's keeping him from becoming all that he wants to be in us? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're amazing. I mean, we saw a few weeks ago how the human heart is not even in time itself. It's outside of time. It's outside of the normal parameters that we think as time. And yet that's in the natural. How much more in the spiritual are we outside of this dimension? What says that we're hidden in Christ? And is Christ in eternity? What's eternity as we know it, because it's a place that has time like we've never seen before. And yet you and I are there right now. So all I want to do is this last part, is just have you just stand with me. And you've been noticed I've been having us pray and try to make real what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. I guess you're not talking, I'm talking. But make it real in our lives. Because if Jesus is reality, do we not want the full reality of Christ? Do we not want to have the way and the truth and the life not just be a saying to us, but be a personal intimacy that we have? That when we walk on the way, we know that he's there with us, and we know that he's guiding and leading us, and that he is actually the road that we're on, and he's the destination. But it's not just saying. It's reality. It's truth. It's what's real to us. It's not in any way a fairy tale. It's not just what somebody taught us. It is what we know. Because remember, to know him is eternal life. See, that's why Paul said, you know what? I don't care about anything else that I know. I don't care how I was taught. I don't care where I've come from. I don't care all the things that I've done. They're nothing compared to the excellency of knowing Christ. And that's all I desire. And that was Paul, who had personal interaction with Jesus, was taught by him. How he got the most of the New Testament was through Christ. And yet he wanted to know him. So if you would with me, just put your hand on your heart, and we're just going to ask the Lord just to activate us. Father, we just come before your throne of grace. And Lord, we place our hands on our hearts, Lord, as a testimony, Lord, that we want you, Lord, to be the one that brings healing to any of our heart, Lord, that has been wounded or hurt, that's been lied to or damaged. Lord, that's been manipulated. Lord, we want you to bring healing to that part of our heart. Make us whole, Lord, so that we can truly know you, that it's not something that we think is going to happen in the future, Lord, but we'll know it can happen today. We can have true intimacy and knowledge of you experientially, Lord. Lord, I pray that part of us, Lord, that is being tormented or challenged or deceived by any work of the enemy, that it would be exposed to the light of Christ. It'd be exposed to the power of God, and that the enemy would have to fall, that he'd have to drop his weapons against us, and they would not prosper. Lord, I pray that anything that is trying to be done by individuals in our life, any agendas, any plans that are trying to bring us harm or trying to take us down or keep us from knowing you, Lord, I pray that those would come to naught, that there'd be no success to any of those plans, and that you would bring an end to them. Father, we give you permission to work in our lives. We give you permission, Lord, to get into our business, to get into our comfort zone, to move past, Lord, our our ability to hold you back, Lord, that you would just come in and just, if you have to, be like a wrecking ball and clean us up. Tear down those old towers, those old buildings, Lord, that have no life in them. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your ways. And help us not to just make this a moment here, Lord, at church, to gather together where we're comfortable with everybody. But Lord, help us to make this a daily process of surrendering and yielding and giving up, Lord, our own ways, Lord, for yours, so that we can know you. Lord, to know you is eternal life. To know you, Lord, is to know life in reality. To know you, Lord, is to know the way to go. To know you, Lord, is a place of joy and peace and rest. So help us to walk that path, Lord. Help us to not become, Lord, ones that get off in the hard soil that you can't work in. Help us to stay on your path that you've laid for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord, that you are my destination. You are the reality of that destination. And you are the life and the light, Lord, of that destination. Hallelujah. Glenn?
So, after worship today, I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys because I trust you and I love you. But we, you know, we're singing and everything seems kind of funny with worship and we don't have words for, I don't know how long my eyes were closed. I was too scared to look out here, but but no, everything's funny. And, you know, oftentimes you'll hear me sing things and I just try to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And it's not something that I intentionally am hunting for things. He just kind of drops them and they flow out. And I don't even remember half the time people have been like, that was such a good song. And I'm like, which one? I don't know what you're talking about. And oftentimes, you know, when the Lord uses us, it's like we have no recollection, but it's because we weren't striving in anything. It's because we were resting in him. And one thing stood out to me today, and I sang, or I can look at my back at my past and I can laugh because you've made me new. So after worship, I knew the Lord was calling me away. And I just went down and I just sat for a while quietly with him. And I just was like, okay, what do you want to do? And he said, I want you to look back at your past and I want you to laugh at it. So I said, all right. So search me, God. Then what is it you want me to laugh at? And there was a time, my parents were divorced when I was young. I remember the day vividly. And I remember my dad coming home and us sitting down in our old living room on the same couches that we still have in our house to this day. And I remember him telling us that they're splitting up, whatever. And I remember these images in my mind and I remember the hurt that it caused. And he said, well, laugh at it. So I laughed out loud at it, which is, if anyone had walked in, they probably would have thought, this guy's insane. And you know what? That's okay, because we sang also, I don't have to worry about what they're going to say. It doesn't matter what anybody says about us, because we're hidden in him. Our life is in him. So we continued on a path looking at things, and he was chronological. I don't know if that's how I remember it or if that's how he was leading me through my past and just laughing about things. And I say all this to just encourage you guys to do that, because I know I feel more free now than I did before I did it. So I don't know what happened. I don't know what it is. I know there's something in making a sound, because essentially when we make that new sound over the old sound that was there, it changes our memory of it. And also then going a step further and taking the blood of Jesus. Now this sounds really strange, but in those memories in my mind, just taking a paintbrush and just painting over the memory, just painting the blood, because there's nothing I remember about my past that's hidden from him. And there's also nothing about my past that is even who I am now. It's all not just concealed, but it is concealed by the blood of Jesus. When Father looks back and he sees him, he doesn't see, oh, that's my son. He was doing this terrible stuff. He goes, oh, there's Jesus. There's the Lamb of God. There is my son. And he paid for all that. So taking the blood of Jesus and literally just painting it over the memory. So those are just some things that I think, wow, they blasted my mind. I went in the nursery, Lotta goes, have you been token the ghost? But if you guys, you know, you might look crazy, but you're always before God. So I just encourage you guys to try the same thing. If he did it once, he'll do it again. And in the testimony of God, there is a spirit of prophecy. So you guys, as you do this, you're going to experience the same freedom that I have. And I just want you guys to know that you're loved. Amen.
Amen. Yes, you are loved. Well, praise God. You guys have a wonderful day. Be blessed. Looks like it's a little cooler today, praise God. How many are enjoying the cooler weather? Thank the Lord for it, right? Did you guys thank him for it was 108? Probably forgot that then, right? Okay, love you all. Bless you.